It's Pharrell on a bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. I know it's Thursday, but it feels like a pain-free Friday. Pharrell's going out, man, it's on the mahogany, waxing it out. A bad seed, a broken head, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad utter, bad day, bad law, bad dude, bad bread, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios in New York City. Ooh. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Get your Rocket Mortgage on. People dressed in plastic bags. Directed traffic. Some kind of fashion. Shake it up. Should do bit. All my friends then come around. Fight to party up. Rats on the west side. Bed bugs. Some town with a mess. This town's a tatter. My brains are splattered all over Manhattan. Should do be. Shake out. Ooh. Are you with us tonight from New York? 855-212-4CBS is our toll-free line. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. You can save a bunch of money like Carver High did. Here's what he did. He went on Geico.com, and in 15 minutes, Carver High literally saved over 15% on his car insurance. I think it was around 17.5. Because they liked him. The guy that did the deal was an Islander fan. Did the Islanders win that game tonight? Did I bet on him?
They did in overtime.
Oh! All right, I'll take a winner. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Cover! Oh, fight for your right. Oh, nigga. For your right. Dun, 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 dun. How about the show we got tonight, Carver High? What do you think? It's crazy, this lineup.
A lot going on.
Jamie of CBSSports.com, CBS HQ, and CBS Sports Radio. You hear him on Saturday nights on Ion Fantasy Football. He's on tonight because I'm not going to be here tomorrow night. You lose. Playoffs start in fantasy football this week, right? So we got Jamie Eisenberg on for you tonight, coming up here in 10 minutes. So call early. When I go to the break, you start calling 855-212-4227 to get your fantasy questions in with Jamie. All right, so get ready. He's on in 10 minutes. If you're usually doing it Friday night, so everybody needs to get off that bong and, like, realize he's on tonight. Throwing everybody a curveball here at Carver High. I like that move by you. That was your idea to swing him on tonight because I'm not here?
It was.
Who's doing the show tomorrow? Anybody know? Carrington Harrison, right? All right, there you go. That's our boy from Kansas City, CH, getting it done for us. He was doing it for me for Thanksgiving. Great job, CH. Son, stay focused. Rick Harrow at 10:40 Eastern with our sports business report. Should be scintillating. And then 11:03 Eastern, 8:03 Vegas time, Brian Custer. Our boy B-Cust from Showtime Boxing. Some of you know him from CBS's Big Three, right? And he does Big Three play-by-play. We got Thursday Night Football going on at Soldier Field in the Windy City. Freezing cold. The Bears trying to keep slim playoff hopes alive, like Khalil Mack said they were going to run the tables. And they're doing it tonight, aren't they, Carver High? Up 24-7 on the Cowboys. My question to you is this. Will Jerry Jones fire Jason Garrett tomorrow if he loses this game as badly as it is right now?
He said he wasn't going to fire him in the season, right? Or the reports say that they're not. This is kind of like last week to me for them. Remember last week they got the ball first against the Bills. They went right down the field. They took a 7-0 lead, and they were done after that. Tonight they had the longest drive like to start a game in the NFL this year. They go up 7-0. They've done nothing since that point. They have let the Bears, whose offense has been awful all year, just go up and down the field against them. Embarrassing.
Let me tell you, forget tomorrow. Jerry might fire him tonight and make him fly a commercial on the way home. Get him a little Lane Kiffin treatment.
Now that would be a great story right there. That's a great idea on your part, Mafia.
This is embarrassing to be this shellacked by teams. I mean, the Bills are good. But Chicago's at your level or worse. Right. You should not be getting beaten this bad. I don't care if you're on the road.
Do you think this game is over, or do you think Dak's got it in him for a comeback?
I think this game's over.
Over. All right. Odell Beckham Jr. was very vague today when asked about his future in Cleveland, saying he wants to be in Cleveland but doesn't know what the future holds. Could OBJ be one and done in Cleveland? He actually said at one point, there's no place I'd rather be. And then what, 10 minutes later, said, I'm not sure.
He was so back and
Make
forth
up your mind,
in
bro.
The entire media session. And that is just so typical. OBJ, it looked today like the guy that the Giants wanted out of town and out of that locker room so bad. Look, I don't think he's going to be in Cleveland next year. I think he's going to be on another team.
You heard it here. Carver High getting involved early. Dana White says that Conor McGregor has told him he wants to fight Jorge Masvidal after he fights Cowboy Cerrone in January. Would McGregor get destroyed by Masvidal Mafia? I have to say, you know, I know that, and I've said this to you before, I do not feel Cerrone can dance with this guy after the beatings I've seen that guy take and dish out. I think he's a weathered piece of leather, that guy Cerrone. I think he's fought anybody, any comer. He'll do anything, anywhere, any day, street fight, brawl, wherever, backyard, front yard, where do you want to go? But I think he's had his toll of abuse, yeah. And I think that McGregor will chew through him. That's my feeling anyway, unless he gets lucky with a knockout punch, which could happen against anybody. Puncher's chance, yo. Anyway, do you feel that he's looking ahead, and it's embarrassing since he hasn't fought in so long that he's already plotting his next fight and he's got one coming up?
I mean, that's typical Conor. He thinks he's going to beat everybody. He thinks he should have a clear path to the top. So, of course, he's going to be plotting that, okay, if I beat this guy, I want the big money fight against Masvidal in a big, you know, situation like he just had against Diaz at the Garden. And then he thinks after that he'll get a title shot at the belt. But you know what? He's weathered, he's beaten, his chin isn't the same because of all the abuse he's taken. I'm talking about Cowboy. But if Conor takes him too lightly, he can catch him. That guy still has some power left in him if you don't get in there and do the right
thing. You're not going to bet on that guy.
No, I'm not. I'm going to bet on Conor. But if he's going to look ahead to Masvidal, which again is a terrible matchup for him, and he'll get slaughtered, then that's not good against Cowboy because he will catch you.
I agree. And then what is next week, the big card with Usman?
Yes.
So nothing this week. Oh, no, wait. Is the fight night thing with Frankie Edgar this week? I know that he's replaced Brian Ortega in that fight card, and I don't know exactly. It's in, like, some crazy place. Busran or something? What am I? I can't even keep track of this stuff, the news. I gave it to Carver High. Frankie Edgar, the front runner to replace. It's December 21st, so that's not this weekend.
Yeah, no,
weekend.
This week is Overeem is fighting in D.C., they got a, you know, fight night card there.
Can't wait for that. Anyway, there you go. Finally, the Yankees are making Gerrit Cole their top offseason priority, and ownership has given the go-ahead apparently to Cashman to do whatever it takes to make it happen fiscally. Will the Yankees get their man? Carver High, I'm hearing 250 millones.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if he goes more than that. They're going to give him whatever he wants. He's going to be a Yankee. He's going to be a Yankee.
That's a done deal.
When you start hearing stuff like this, like, you know, the vault is open, because the Yankees have not done that in free agency for the last few years.
Since CeCe, right?
Since that 09 where they signed CeCe and Teixeira and Burnett. You know, they got Ellsbury for a lot of money that year. But I mean.
But that worked.
These last four or five years.
That year worked.
Well, the 09 did, absolutely. But they are opening the vault here, and they're going to give Gerrit Cole whatever he wants. And it's going to be on Cole. Does he want to come to New York, go on the big stage, get the big money, and, you know, win? Or does he want to go chill on a beach in Cali like, you know, Manny did last year? It is what it is. That's all fine and good. He might win out there too, but this is the big stage.
Listen,
this is the big stage.
Listen, I love San Diego more than anybody. What up, La Jolla? Mom Squad! I think that I'd love to be in San Diego every day, but the deal is this. You can't tell me Machado, I'm sure he's happy with $300 million, but he cannot be happy with that crap team he plays on and losing every night, right? Like, no doubt. Like, there's no way you can enjoy yourself, even if you have all that money, if all you do is lose. So here's the deal. You come to New York and you play with the Yankees, you're going to win, right? That's all there is to it. They win. They're good even when they suck. It's kind of like us. We're good even when we suck. Actually, we're kick-ass even when we suck. Anyway. All right, coming up, Jamie Eisenberg is first with your fantasy football playoff opening week. Get on the phones now with your calls, 855-212-4227.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4227. Jamie Eisenberg is with us tonight because I'm not going to be here tomorrow night. Strange, it's like having no underwear on, doing it on a Thursday, but I thought it was a great idea by Carver High to get our boy in here. I was talking to a guy the other day, Jamie, about you. Let's just say How do I put this? So this guy's a really powerful guy, right? And he does, you know, big things, let's just say, in the industry. And he's very important. Mafia, back me up on this. And we were having dinner or something, and I brought you up because he was talking about, like, fantasy or something with me. And I'm like, listen, I'm not the fantasy. That's not my bag. I said, but I love it. I think it's fantastic in terms of betting. And to me, it's betting. And I think it's a great way to make money and to, you know, get into the game. Either fantasy or sports betting is the only way to, I believe, truly fully grasp the enjoyment of sports these days in every phase. And I said, this guy I know, Jamie Eisenberg, and I started talking about it, and this guy's like, and he knew you full on and has, like, let's just say, used you before for some things, apparently, and he knew, he certainly knew of you and has worked with you, and he is just like, I am a huge fan, and like all the fans love you. You're great at what you do, but this guy, I mean, to tell you, this guy has more juice than anyone you know, and he spoke so highly of you, I wanted to hurl. I was like, all right, slow down. I don't have all night to hear this, but I think he's awesome, and he's like, He likes you more than I do, and I just want you to know that. And I'm just a normal guy that has a great jump shot, and chicks dig me. But this guy runs the world, and he's like, that guy's the best in the business. And I was like, Jesus, I thought I was. And then he just crushed me with Jamie Eisenberg down my throat for like 15 minutes. Mafia was sitting there. I almost died. Anyway, just so you know, a lot of people think highly of you, and they're important people.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I told him you're kind of a D, though, because you went to Florida and you root for crappy teams and, you know, you're kind of obsessed with hurricanes or something. And I was like, he likes bad weather and it's just weird. Who chases hurricanes?
I just like FIU and Duke. Those are the only two teams I like.
All right. Screw you. Anyway, so it's the playoffs, and you've said that if what you try to do here is kind of like what NFL teams try to do, win and move on.
I mean, that's the only thing that matters. You know, it's you're trying to collect a check at the end of the day. So, you know, you want to get to the championship game and, you know, win your league. That's where the bragging rights come in, and, you know, you have fun at that point. So, it's, you know, the trick is, do you play the guys who got you here, or do you, you know, sort of be a little tricky and play some of the matchups? And, you know, those are the decisions that the fantasy players have to make when you get to this point in the season.
So what is your rationale behind Carson Wentz being your start of the week based on how crappy he's been?
Well, he was good last week, obviously taking on the Dolphins, and he has a similar matchup this week against the Giants. So I think you see he should have the opportunity to, you know, go back-to-back with some strong games. And as we're seeing this game tonight, a lot of motivation on the line because the NFC East is theirs for the taking. If they win this game with the schedule setting up for them and how Dallas has been playing, that head-to-head game in a couple weeks is going to be huge. But, you know, if the Eagles do what they should do against the Giants and what now could be a fun game with Eli Manning starting, I think Wentz is going to have a big game on Monday night.
What about you like Mayfield? He's got an injured hand, and I know he's playing the Bengals. That would be the only reason I would play him, because I think he sucks.
He's had a rough year, but this is typically the spot where he's played well. Bad defense, at home. You know, it's going to be interesting to see, is he playing for Freddie? You know, I mean, I'm sure you've talked about this. You know, is Freddie Kitchens going to be the guy next year? It seems as if he wanted him to be the coach that, you know, played himself out this season. Obviously not working out very well, so... with them being eliminated, you know, will he have the motivation that we typically see from guys when, you know, they're playing out the string at the end of the year? I think he's going to go out and have a big game against the Bengals because, again, this is the scenario where he tends to put up good numbers.
All right, so here we go. We got one segment tonight with Jamie, so let's get it on. If you want to get on with him right now with your fantasy situations, who to start, who to sit, who to deal, what to do for the playoffs, now's the time to call 855-212-4227. David in Texas.
Yeah, I got a PPR flex question. Snell, Scarborough, Madison, Thompson, Mozart.
If you just need one, I have a sneaky feeling with Madison this week. You know, you're looking at Dalvin Cook. He's not 100%. I don't know what his full allotment of snaps is going to be, how healthy he'll be out there. And if they have a lead in the game, it's probably going to be Madison at the end. So just the fact that there's no slam dunk guy, I think Madison is probably the way I would go.
All right, there you go, David. 855-212-4CBS. Dwayne in Indiana, you're on a bench.
Hey, guys. Hi, Jeremy. I have a PPR question at running back. Darius Geist or Rashad Penny?
You know, since it's PPR, I'd play Penny. I like the fact that they used him in the passing game last week, and, you know, hopefully that continues. I don't think they're going to get 40 carries out of both their running backs, but it's a scenario where, you know, Seattle's going to run the ball as much as they can. I'd like to see guys get a little bit more work, but for right now with what Penny's doing and how they're using him, I think he's a good opportunity to trust him with that duo.
There you go, Dwayne. Sleeper, you got Benny Snell. I like the way he looked for Pittsburgh because Connor never plays, and they're going against Arizona, and they look like they're shot.
100%. You know, it's a matter of, with the quarterback situation being what it is, you know, not trusting Devlin Hodges on the road against a bad team. You know, he's gotten 16 or more carries for the last two games. I can't imagine if the game goes the way Pittsburgh wants it to that he's not going to get that much work. So, yeah, it's a good setup for him.
The Devontae Parker, I like that one. The way he's looked with Fitzmagic, you got to admit, those two have been lighting it up, especially last week against the Eagles.
Against everybody. It's an amazing, you know, series of events that the team has been obviously bad, you know, obviously you could say on purpose. But he's been a monster after being a bust his entire career. So, Fitzpatrick has done this before. He's turned guys into, you know, some career seasons. You know, go back to Buffalo with Stevie Johnson, for example, and what that relationship was like. So I could see, you know, Parker finishing the season strong, and this is a great matchup for him to take advantage of once again against Jeff.
855-212-4227 to get on with Jamie Eisenberg. Jack in Illinois, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, I was. I'm between Christian Kirk and Calvin Ridley in a half PPR league.
Yeah, I can't play Christian Kirk against the Steelers. I think Calvin Ridley, you know, just make sure he's 100% healthy. He's going to lose some targets with Austin Hooper coming back and the fact that Julio Jones is playing after sitting out last week. But, you know, I think you're going to see the Falcons offense play really well this week now that everybody's healthy and Ridley having a big role.
Kyle Rudolph and Vance McDonald, I like those two this week. And same thing again. I think McDonald against Arizona, and I think Kyle Rudolph because I think the Lions suck.
They do. It's, you know, we like trends. And so you look at those two guys in particular. The Cardinals have been awful against tight ends all season long. They give us the most touchdowns to the position with 13 and almost every time. There's only been two teams that haven't had a touchdown from their tight end against the Cardinals. And then for Rudolph, it's been now six games, where Adam Thielen has been out or missed, out during the game or missed the game entirely. And Rudolph has six touchdowns in those six games. It started with the game against Detroit in week 7.
Let's try Novell in Maryland. You're on the bench.
Thank you for taking my call. PPR league, I need one. Tyler Lockett, Shepard, Metcalf, or Tyrell. I just need one.
I think Lockett's going to have a good game. I know he was obviously frustrating last week. He had three targets, no catches. But if you look at it from how the Rams will probably defend the Seahawks, DK Metcalf is the perfect receiver for Jalen Ramsey to shadow. He's been coming on as so the lead guy in this offense the last 3 weeks, and it's a big physical receiver. That's the type of guys that Ramsey does well against. Lockett has a good track record against the Rams, three touchdowns in his last three games against them. So I think he has a breakout game in this matchup against the Rams this week.
All right, Novell. Happy holidays, brother. So on the defensive side, Jamie, you got Packers against the Redskins, and then you got Texans against Denver, Vikings, Detroit, Titans, at Oakland. I guess my question is, do the Redskins scare you at all the way they've been playing the last couple of weeks because they've been running it down people's throats?
They have been, you know, specifically last week, obviously, against Carolina, and that's a bad run defense, and the Packers are a bad run defense. But you're still talking about Dwayne Haskins going into Lambeau Field. I think this is the type of game where those pass rushers, Darius Smith, Preston Smith, they show up, they get after Haskins. He has some turnovers, most likely chasing points. I don't see them playing with the lead. So while the run game will be early, be a factor early for the Redskins, I think Haskins throwing late, that's a spot where I think the Packers defense wins.
Casey in Philadelphia, you're on CBS Sports Radio with Jamie Eisenberg.
Yo, Pharrell and my boy. Hey, can I get a J-Mo to get cooking here?
Can we get him a little J-Mo rock? Check out. Ooh. There you go. So go ahead.
My man. Hey, so quick question on my I'm in the quarters right now. I got David Johnson on the bench, and then I have this tight end for the Falcons who's questionable coming back. He's been a stud all year, and then I got this Doyle guy from the Colts. So I have a couple decisions to make. Should I put Johnson in, and what tight end should I go with?
Well, if you're talking about Johnson maybe as a flex, I would get him out of there and play both tight ends. I think Doyle, as we saw last week, no Eric Ebron, no T.Y. Hilton. You know, they're so thin on pass catchers, it's going to be Doyle and Zach Pascal, the receiver there. So I'd play both tight ends if you can over David Johnson. Now, if you're just talking about one tight end and that's it, you can't play David Johnson. It's just too risky right now with how he's performed. So I like Doyle still better than Austin Hooper, but if you can play both those tight ends, that's the way I would go.
All right, there you go, Case. And finally, Colin in Pennsylvania.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Hey, go ahead, brother. Good.
All righty. All right. I'm looking at keeping in Galladay and Landry. I've got Crowder as a flex. Do you really put Pascal that high up above a Crowder or even like a Metcalf?
I do. You know, again, as we saw last week, no Hilton, no Ebron. They're playing the Bucs. It's hard to run on Tampa Bay. Their secondary has been a problem all season long. They give up the most production to that position. So you're talking about 10 targets, 7 catches, 100 yards receiving. Pascal's in such a good spot. So Crowder should be good. You know, his offense are obviously bad. So I don't think it's a huge drop-off one way or the other. But I just look at the upside, and I think there's a much higher ceiling for Pascal this week.
All right, there you go, Colin. Jamie, great stuff tonight. Enjoy all the games and the playoffs. Start, run, go for it all weekend long, and then we'll see how we do next week. Thanks for coming on the bench tonight, a night early, to get in all the playoff action for everybody.
Pharrell, you're the best. Go Gators.
All right, there you go. Screw you, Jamie. Jamie Eisenberg, you can check him out Saturday nights on CBS Sports Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern with Eye on Fantasy.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, you got action going on right now, right, at Soldier Field. I'm on the Bears and the 3, and they just scored again with Trubisky, so let's see if they can close this out against Dallas. That'd be a nice start to the week hitting the Thursday nighter. All of my pain day locks for Sunday are posted. All of my conference championship games in college football, great games all weekend, a lot of double-digit spreads are posted. Everything, NBA, college rack, no one hits more games than me. I mean, last night was just sickening what I did. It really was. 16-4 in the NBA and 40-14 in college basketball. I make you so much money, make your head spin. Hide it from your wife. Whatever you do, sign up for RowanAbench.com. It's the best thing invented since the Edson Diesel. Rick Haro is in our nation's capital this evening, but smartly he's off to San Diego right after that to get a little hooya to ya La Jolla for the baseball winter meetings. Mr. Haro.
Hey, so we've got a big deal on Sunday. We've got a facility and kind of franchise and community seminar they're doing on Sunday for all of minor league baseball. You know, there's a big discussion about contracting teams.
Right.
How many is the right number? So I'm in the middle of that. You know, you really shouldn't eliminate baseball in middle America. And there's a whole discussion about that. There's been a lot of controversy. So we're doing a best practices. Here's how you get stadiums done. And here's why baseball is important in those towns. So it's a big deal on Sunday.
I think that what they should do at the winter meetings and with contracting minor league baseball, which is a sad state of affairs, they're doing that, I believe, in essence, in Portuguese, what it means is so that Garrett Cole can make $250 million with the Yankees.
Well, you know what? That's a very interesting perspective on that. And when you think about it, the more important issue to me is Kingsport, Tennessee, Bristol, Virginia, all of the teams in the Pioneer League, there are teams that are kind of targeted for extinction. And when you think about the history of 150 years of baseball in those towns, you got to figure out how to save them.
I got to tell you, real quick, Trubisky tonight has had at least 3 runs for first downs on third down and a fourth, which was just run, a 25-plus yard touchdown run. This guy's having the game of the season for himself, and he's taking a lot of abuse, but he looks damn good tonight against Dallas. This might be the end for Jason Garrett.
Yeah, it might be, and I don't know how you picked the Bears tonight, but you're a genius. And also, how about those uniforms tonight?
Yeah, listen, I have no problem with that. They look like a sad version of the Fighting Illini. So state-by-state legal sports wagering outside of Nevada takes hold with massive business implications. I like the part of your story where you talk about what's going on with William Hill with the Wizards and Capitals and that ownership group.
Yeah, they're the latest ownership group to install a sports book in their venue. Tens of millions of tax dollars in sports betting proceeds going to communities around the country, 19 states. North Carolina, Tennessee, Illinois, Montana, New Hampshire, other states getting legislation to add gambling, 24 states looking to do it next. When you look at the top stories of the year, that's got to be it.
Rick Haro with us, our sports business and legal insider on the bench for over 2 decades. Esports has become global, and I don't think people that listen to the show, frankly, understand, and I'm starting to grasp it for sure, how just gargantuan this is. It's like the UFC becoming a $5 billion business, that esports is going to be even bigger than that.
It's
380 million people worldwide. Yeah, can't even fit that in a subway. 557 million by 2021. And so a 38% jump, revenue about $906 million. It's a billion-dollar business. And so, listen, multiple amateur competitions have up to $1 million in their deals. Big arenas are happening just for esports. The Olympics talks about including it in the future. So, listen, it seems to be arriving, the future of esports, with a joystick and a HD monitor in hand. Look forward to continue to be big.
So the decade in review, we talk about college football finally going from a BCS to a playoff system.
Well, that's number three on my list. And when you look at the decade, that's probably one of the biggest issues. You know, you went to the BCS, the Bowl Coalition, the Bowl Championship Series. And it hadn't been too long ago, you and I remember it, when we had split votes for national championships. Now we talk about how four teams may not be enough. Look for the change, not today, not next year, but 2 years from now.
How about college student-athletes having a chance to get paid?
Number four on the list, Governor Newsom signs with LeBron James next to him. States are saying that's a great idea. What it really did was to jumpstart the NCAA into figuring out how to legislate beyond what they've currently got. And so the NCAA will figure out the governance of this, probably not this year, but beginning of next year.
Number five on your list of the decade's biggest stories was L.A. getting not one, but two pro football teams.
Yeah, they're not playing like it right now, but listen, we can't wait for that $5 billion stadium to open up to get the Super Bowl, the College Football National Championship in 2023, the opening and closing ceremonies in the Olympics in 2028. Significant economic impact. By the way, L.A. gets its teams back. They thought they would get a team in 2002. That became the Houston Texans. Now you got, obviously, Kroenke doing the deal, but you also have the Chargers. They're not playing like it, but they'll be a much better team, I think, when they move into the big stadium.
Rob Manfred is the number six story, getting the gig as the 10th commissioner in baseball.
10th commissioner in baseball. But he presided over an era you would think would be relatively easy, post-steroid era, got to speed up the games, pitch clock made it that much harder. Minor league baseball, though, as we said before, 44 million fans annually, the winter meetings, and we talked about the seminar we've got. Minor league baseball needs some relevance, major league baseball moving forward. And Garrett Cole. That's a good point.
Right. The price tag for pro sports now is not with an M. It starts with a B, as in billions.
Yeah, for stadiums. Well, AT&T Stadium, obviously, Jerry's World, $5 billion SoFi Stadium, $28 billion in stadiums from 2000 to 2014, $1.6 billion Mercedes-Benz in Atlanta, $1.4 billion Chase Center in downtown San Francisco. So the bottom line is stadiums getting more expensive, but more money out of owners' pockets.
Tiger, you lose him, you get him back. The world's better as long as Tiger's winning. He's playing good this week, too.
Step number eight on the list, 18 majors. People thought it was a pipe dream, but then came 2018, April 14, 2019. I think the greatest comeback in sports history. That wins the Masters. Now, President's Cup, Royal Melbourne, the 2020 year, and the pursuit of Jack Nicklaus continues.
Number nine, NBA star athletes become media moguls.
Hey, so you got, obviously, Kobe Bryant and his world. He wins an Oscar for Dear Basketball. You've got LeBron James. He becomes a Harvard Business School case study. Maverick Carter's Uninterrupted Network. You've got Serena Williams and her network. You've got Steph Curry becoming an icon as well. It's not enough these guys perform on the field, but off the field as well.
How about, Ricardo, the Me Too era in sports?
That's number 10 on the list, I think, from the decade. Everybody can have their list, but I think this was an important one. Larry Nassar, charged with 22 counts of first-degree criminal assault. Got to throw away the key for him. But what's happening is, obviously, USA Gymnastics, total restructuring. The Me Too knocks Jerry Richardson into selling his team. Got the Robert Kraft stuff. Bottom line is it becomes a very important issue And we're not done with that, obviously.
How about China? It seems like, what, do they get every Olympic Games now?
How about this? Summer Olympic Games in 2018, in 2008, 2015, Beijing selected as the host city for 2022. They don't get any snow for the Winter Games. They don't get any snow, but they manufacture snow. About 300 million winter sports enthusiasts are created out of whole cloth by the Chinese government. Obviously, China, a big deal. The Daryl Morey tweet, the 300 million fans. I think that whole issue is number 11 on the list.
FIFA, corruption, makes number 12.
Yeah, we've got a sting operation in 2015. A small arrest in downtown Zurich leads to the resignation of Sepp Blatter. 14 indictments of officials by the U.S. Justice Department. There's a whole change in soccer.
How about the women's soccer? They become bigger than the men.
That's 13 on the list, but again, they occupy the number one position in the rankings history for women's soccer. Obviously, winning the World Cup, you're looking for financial relevance. Got a CBA through 2021 on the men's side. The women need to get paid. And obviously, the Women's World Cup is a step in the right direction.
NASCAR declining in everything, right? Ratings, fans?
Declining everything. NASCAR broadcasts in 185 countries and territories. Brian France, the CEO, leaves. The sport increased 29% since 2008 in Fortune 500 companies. 28% of Fortune companies continue to invest in NASCAR. So it's not going away. But it's a lot different than it was 10 years ago.
And lastly, the Mayweather-McGregor mega fight. It was actually, I think, the second worst fight I've ever seen in my life behind Mayweather-Pacquiao.
Yeah, it was. But it was the first most lucrative fight. It made 15 on the list of all decades because of the money it made. $50 million guaranteed, $100 million guaranteed to Mayweather, $30 million guaranteed to McGregor. A boring fight. But a big payday.
All right, Rick, have a great time at the baseball winter meetings in San Diego. Enjoy the golf and sunshine.
All right, man, and I'll see you next week.
All right, Rick Haro, ladies and gentlemen, our sports, business, and legal insider from our nation's capital tonight. Coming up, because Brian Custer, the voice of Showtime Boxing, Jermall Charlo and Dennis Hogan fighting Saturday at the Barclays Center in No Sleep Till Brooklyn. The Bears are rolling over the Cowboys tonight in Chicago. This is CBS Sports Radio.